I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is a cold, gray Monday here in the capital city, but that is all right because we have some incredible news to talk about today. Welcome to it. It is Old School. Austin Norman here to my left, your right, if you're watching on stream. Former Husker 8-year NFL vet Jay Foreman back from the great beyond. Jay, long time no see. How are you?
Yeah, what's happening, man?
Oh, you know, more of the same.
More of the same?
More of the same. What would you say? Same old soup just reheated?
Same old soup just reheated. You know what time it is.
It's time to thank the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese.
That's right. Every type of meat, every type of cut. Go in there and ask them what's up. They'll tell you.
They know what's up. They've never not known what's up.
I know. They've been on point ever since they started to get it popping.
Shout out the Mercado. Reverse shout out to Farley. Tried to talk junk just as soon as he walked in. Like, it was on site for him.
It looked like he had a big old Mercado beef stick in his mouth.
Would not blame him for that.
Yeah.
Would not blame him at all. 402-464-5685 if there's anything on your mind. Husker fans, we'll get to some of what Matt Rhule said. We'll get to Nebraska's 6 o'clock central kickoff against Penn State coming up on Saturday in the short turnaround before Iowa. But Jay, some more developments in the college football coaching carousel. We spent a little bit of time talking about that on Friday, but the first development is out of Blacksburg, Virginia. Virginia Tech wants a decision from James Franklin today.
Oh,
today. They want resolution today.
Ooh.
That's what they're telling him.
Today?
Today.
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 Is that T-U-D-D-A-Y?
I would say T-U-H-D-A-Y.
Hey.
Today.
Exactly. Hey, you've been put on notice. You think you sweet? You think you're gonna long play as player?
Oh no, sir.
Well, yeah,
we got the power here.
But here's what I would ask though: would you even want him after that? You kicking you around here twiddling your thumbs and playing, you know, rock paper scissors, or doing the whole like, you know, when they have a rose, you know, she loves me not, this and this, and then you had to bring up another one if it got to she loves me not. You really, Virginia Tech, you really doing this right now?
If you haven't gotten yes already, you're really going to keep waiting?
Right.
No.
When you know you could call down to Columbia, South Carolina and get a better phone call now.
Hey, how about that?
Right? Come on home. Listen.
30.
Listen.
30 and a half.
Listen. Don't worry about that 27-point lead. We knew what was up. That's your potential. We're okay with that right here. Come on home.
From The Athletic, one person briefed on the situation told The Athletic on Friday that Virginia Tech staff members had been told by school officials they hope to have a resolution in their search by Monday. Franklin, meanwhile, has been surveying the landscape of what is already a busy cycle of hirings and firings. 12 Power 4 jobs are open, including Florida, LSU, who we will get to momentarily, and Auburn in the SEC. But, Jay, Virginia Tech's other candidates, if they're going to move on from James Franklin, say, nope, you had your chance. You didn't want us. We're moving on. They have looked at John Sumrall from Tulane and Bob Chesney from James Madison. And per The Athletic, they are prepared to move on from Franklin if they cannot strike a deal soon.
Those two are Kirk Cignetti specials.
Mm-hmm.
And especially your boy, Bob Chesney. And what's the singer? Kenny Chesney?
Kenny Chesney.
Are they related?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Kenny Chesney, that's he's a Tennessee Vol fan, right? He wore that little hat.
I assume so.
Yeah. Anyways.
Bob Chesney, Kenny Chesney.
They got to be Kim. They are
not immediately related, at the very least.
But he's doing a great job at James Madison. They're accelerating his path to Power 4. based off what Kirk Cignetti did, but they forgot that Kirk Cignetti did it about five other places the same way. Right. Not taking anything away from...
well, and Chesney did too. But, so he was in the NEFC with Salve Regina, took him from 6-4 to 9-2 in three seasons, went 6-5 his first year at Assumption in the Northeast 10, and then 11-2 by the end. Then at Holy Cross, they were 5-6 when he took over, and then 12-1 in 2022. His final year at Holy Cross, he was 7-4 when he got hired away to James Madison. So he's done it lower level.
He's done it not to the magnitude, but
exactly.
Now that he's at James Madison, they think it's something in the water. And and he's a good coach. I mean, I'm not taking anything away. But more importantly, back to James Franklin. It's either you want to go to Virginia. They had kind of been connected from the very beginning. So there has to be some sort of, you know, some fabric there. But if you're getting it, if you're waiting this long, it's like Virginia Tech can move on. I mean, James Franklin will coach again. It doesn't matter where he wants to coach again. It's just interesting it's taking them that long. I mean, the Virginia Tech's, I think, a sneaky good job. I think you got a really good you got to get back and take players from Old Dominion and all that, but and some from James Madison, to be frank.
Yeah.
But you got a great footprint there. I mean, they have done wonders in Newport News. You got to think Bruce Smith, the best, you know, pass rusher of all time, you know, all-time leading sack leader from there. Like the Michael Vick and all those there at Norfolk, and you can go and build a dynamite team in the ACC right now,
and just go 300 miles each direction,
right?
And you're good.
But I'm saying that team that you could rebuild very quickly, as long as you have the financial support and all that, you know, all this stuff, and you got to expect that. There's nobody in the ACC that you think that you don't think you can't beat. I mean, I'm sure Miami is very talented, but are you really scared of Mike Norvell in Florida State? How long will Bill Belichick be there? And then who else? Louisville. I mean, Jeff Brohm let you know, listen, after he gets his name mentioned out there, he's definitely going to drop an L.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson? Sure. Okay, but you're in the mix. And you're James Franklin.
Breaking news. Sources, Virginia Tech and James Franklin are finalizing an agreement for him to become the school's next coach.
He just needs to push over the finish line. He just needs a little bit of nudge.
You're welcome, Virginia Tech fans. All right, so let's assume that's official. What do you like about it?
I like James Franklin in that area of the country. I feel like he's always been a really good recruiter. So I think that, you know, immediately whoever goes to Penn State is in some trouble as far as recruiting. He's a really good recruiter. He's done a really good job of developing. He's had a really good, for the most part, coaching staffs. I think he's turned it over too much and always kind of like, you're the problem versus, you know what I'm saying? Like always a new coordinator and all that. I think he probably needs to sharpen up on some stuff as far as, you know, he had the run in with the young reporter about why you weren't throwing a deep, you know, James, I mean, that's it, but those are little things, but I think also he has to look at why, coordinators have turned over so much. Now, is it an offensive philosophy? Is it your philosophy or is it a little bit of both? But everything else, I think he's a big enough name, has the energy. I think he's going to be out the for vengeance. Now that he sees the team now, he probably is glad he left the way they played. So he was able to, you know, it's not all his fault. But, you know, ultimately, I think he's in a really good position to really make some noise. I think he's coming in on – take Mario Cristobal out. Like him, Brohm, those guys, they're coming in right at the really good time with their age and some of the guys aging out. So those three coaches, and you think Dabo's like probably what, 4 years max there, Clemson?
Ooh, I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying max. He's had a terrible year this year. So 4 more years after that.
How long does it take him to find the exit strategy?
Probably about
4 years, you think? This day and age? If it's another bad year next year,
then it's 4 days.
Right, sure.
Well, I'm saying 4 years. Say you have a comeback year and all that, then you're like, all right, you know what?
You get to 9.
We've seen you win 11 games enough. Seven. Now we think we can go get Nick Saban somewhere. Right? I mean, so
right.
About 4 years in. So you're coming in on the right turn. So I like the match. I like it. I like that match for James Franklin because I think he got a little bit of a raw deal at Penn State. I mean, I think it was a little bit too quick. Now, granted, he earned some of that by some of the other stuff, but I think also they were on him and were looking for a reason, in my opinion, to fire him maybe even last year, but they went on that run. So that was a little bit of fool's gold, kind of like the Dallas Mavericks maybe, you know, in basketball, if you want to look at it. Like, you make that run, then the expectations are astronomical the next year.
Right.
And then, you know, Luka's gone, and so is James Franklin. So I think it's a good match. I think it's a better match for him than Florida. I think they're kind of LSU, I probably wouldn't, if I was him, I wouldn't touch that. You know, just,
you know where Jed Fish is an alum of, right?
Florida. I know that. I knew that. I've been knowing that. Because he was talking to me about when we beat the break. You know, I always reminded him about that.
Good.
Yeah. You know, we could have hung 80 on you if we felt like it. We were just being nice. Yeah. So look, they like their coaches with advisors, Lane Kiffin or Jed.
We have some updates on the Kiffin situation. We'll get to that here in just a sec. But good thing for James Franklin, Jay, is that his longtime defensive coordinator, Brent Pry, is available.
All right, man.
Can you imagine if James Franklin hired Brent Pry to be his defensive coordinator? Hey, hope you didn't sell your house.
Hey, bro, what's happening? I'm just getting into town. What you doing? Oh, I'm just chilling. You want to grab a beer? Yeah, man. Hey, man, you know what, man? You comfortable here, right? He's like, yeah. Kids here? Yeah.
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 You like the school system?
Let's just run this back one more time. Let's show them how we do this. Why not? And I nothing
better chance getting him than Tom Allen.
Nothing. Nothing would like surprise me. And you know what?
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Was it Bud Foster stayed for a while, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
Well, Bud was the interim.
Yeah, he was the interim. Yeah. But then did he stay after?
Yeah, he stayed for a few years.
Yeah, after, right? Yeah. He was under another coach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it can happen. I could see it happen. I don't know why it wouldn't. Maybe he's better as a coordinator.
I tend to think that's the case.
Yeah. So, hey, why not? Just go back in your wheelhouse. You tried it, and maybe you need to get more experience and then go back at it. But you. You seen this, the ex UNO player though, right? Point shaving.
Oh yeah. The problem.
You basketball players. Football players can't do it. You too worried about getting your head knocked off.
You coach basketball, you know that, right?
Yeah.
So,
but my dude, they know better.
You hey,
well, you know what? Now I think about it. We was in a big tournament. I saw some cats. They was did a lot of handshakes and dap ups. Yeah, I wonder if I had a couple guys that, you know, said that threw the game with two, man. Because I had one kid travel. I said, bro, you just ran like you was in like 10-yard fight or something, man. This ain't football. He's like, did I travel? Yeah, you traveled.
Yeah, you traveled.
Yesterday, today, and the day after.
Speaking of traveling, the Kiffin family hopped on a plane headed for Baton Rouge. Lane Kiffin, not believed to be on the plane, but LSU flew a private jet to Oxford to pick up members of the Kiffin family to show them around campus in the town.
But where's Lane?
Lane is in Oxford. It's a team.
Hey, that's the most Lane thing ever. Yeah, you go. let's go. Well, you know what? It is a family decision for him.
It is.
And you got to give him a lot of credit, man. I know he's a little quirky. I don't understand. I don't know if I'm the head coach at Nebraska, which I'm not. I don't know if I'd be going to hot yoga with a bunch of co-eds before the game. But that's Lane. That's it. It gets him in his mind right. And that's everything. And and I know he's keeping everything above board. And I think he's there with his old lady and stuff. But, it's a family decision because he's been able to kind of get his life on track to where he's very happy. He's very happy. He's happy. He's not even content. He has his program that he likes and he does. And Ole Miss is right there with him.
Mm-hmm. Giving him everything he's asked for and more.
Everything he's asked for and more. He's got his brother down there. He's got, he's got other family in the house that his parents, you know, were living in. He's got his ex-wife down there, and they seem to have a really good relationship.
Their kid's balling at Oxford High.
Yeah, the kid's just starting. So, I mean, it's a lot. It's a bigger decision. And he said, I think, on McAfee that he's never made a decision for money. Now, you never make a decision for money because you grew up with money.
Right.
Okay. So, but also can tell you he's probably had chances to have very lucrative jobs and could have jumped ship multiple times. And so I'm sure he's just going to send a family and take a look-see. Probably just showing LSU enough respect. If you can convince them, then you can, you know, if you can get through this layer, then you can talk to me.
Rumor has it they were also in Gainesville yesterday.
His family?
The family.
Dang, Lane. Yeah, that's a little. Yeah.
Get the options. Do your homework.
You know who did that, though? His agent.
Oh,
his agent set that up.
Oh, yeah.
His agent set that up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Ben in Lexington says, but seriously, why would you leave Ole Miss if you're Lane? If he wins 9 or 10 games a year with the occasional run to the playoffs, he has a job for life.
No. Mm-mm. Schools like Ole Miss, it reminds me of Glenn Mason in Minnesota. He was doing that, mm-hmm. putting a ton of guys in the league, mm-hmm. developing guys, going, winning 8-9 games in the Big Ten for Minnesota back then was a huge, you know, huge task. And he was very consistent. Then they wanted more, but they didn't have the support. Mm-hmm. Eventually, if they get there, they're going to want more. They're going to expect more. Rightfully so, but let's be honest. As long as Kirby's there and all that, you just ain't going to be running through nothing. And now Texas A&M is – so it's just – because somebody's going to turn over in leadership.
Yeah. So president, once, AD, right, whatever. So
then therefore, the tide will change.
One regent that you might have pissed off down the line or just had something
or
out
just
for
like,
you.
Like, all right, yo, yeah. You know, like my buddy that's a regent here, and he's like, you know, they get X, Y, and we get this, and so you are not doing – you know, all that stuff. And then that changes. That changes the dynamics of it. So, you know.
Well, people probably said that same thing about Dabo before he went on his run at Clemson. Because they were always one game away, one game away. Ole Miss, you know, has kind of been one game away, maybe two games away here or there. Better than they've been in a long time. But people forget that when some of the first college football playoff rankings came out, it was dominated by the Mississippi schools. Ole Miss and Mississippi State were like the first teams in the top four. And that's weird for those places. They're not traditional football powers. But there's something like that in every program, Jay. When they get their first taste of success, it's so hard for them to be happy with that and build to, hey, think about how long it took us to get to this point. We can keep investing to get to the next point. This is what it takes to play big boy football. Every fan base that has reached that point, really outside of Iowa, has reached that point of like, oh, we need more, snap fingers. Well, I'm sorry, we needed more. We're not good enough anymore.
Yeah, and the reason I think a big hang up, and this is where I think programs really run into a little bit of trouble, is in order to get to that type of level, you got to have a very unique mindset. Mm-hmm. Like every day has got to be like win or you die, or when, you know, it is
every day's fourth and one, right?
Every day's fourth and one. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that mentality, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. You're not going to beat those teams, because those teams that are consistently there, I know enough people there, they do have that type of mentality every single day. There is no days off. Mm-hmm. Do they have their fair share of fun? They have a lot of fun. But when it comes down to this football thing, it's fourth and one every day, and we got to have it.
And they got a lot of fun after quadruple zeros.
Yeah, but you do have fun, but you also have to understand that it's a certain mentality, there's certain sacrifices you have to have, and you got to sacrifice, you know, more and more as the stakes get higher. Mm-hmm. And if you're not willing to do that, then you can't demand that. Then unfortunately, you have this, the fans expect it, but they really shouldn't. Well, then that's where the frustration comes from, and that's how you end up like Florida.
You're almost too good for your own good.
Yeah,
when you couldn't get over the hump.
Or the Florida is expecting some things that they had thought because of a small glimpse last year, mm-hmm. or whatever. And then that's how you get, you know, coaches get ran out, or there's things that then they're like, all right, well, you've won enough, but not enough, and, you know, we're tired of the way you won. You know, I don't know.
Elsewhere in the SEC, you brought this school up at one point. The numbers 1 and 286 are key. According to ESPN, SEC teams had been 0 and 286 in games in which they trailed by 27 points since 2004. The one now belongs to Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And Mike Elko, they come back from the brink to take down South Carolina. And Jay, Mike Elko signs an extension, 6-year deal, keeping him in a College Station through the 2031 season, worth more than $10 million annually, bump of about $3 million per year with incentives on top of it. He's 18-5 in 2 years. Started out really well last year, had a little bit of that late season swoon, but Texas A&M fans are probably pretty happy they revolted against the idea of Mark Stoops to end up with where they're at with Mike Elko right now.
Yeah, he's doing it the right. I mean, look, he's at a great university that has a lot of financial backing, and then also, you know, being able to recruit. Texas A&M has always had dudes, and so, but what he's doing though is he's getting guys and he's developing them. He's making them invest in Texas A&M and things that are, like, I guess, bigger and better, and is working out. And that's why you're seeing individual players that are really exceeding. And then you got Stewart that went first round. The two guys they got now are just as good. Both of them were draft picks last year. It was a guy that transferred in from Purdue. He was really good. And then obviously Stewart was really good. And they got two guys that are right behind them are just you know, good as studs. And so, you know, he's done it the hard ways. He's not flashy. You know, he is what he is. He's a meat and potatoes type of guy. He's all football. It seems like, you know, he fits there. And, you know, it was a good decision to re-up him. And I say this right now, this is Trev Albert's first football hire, because he came and he was already there. So then you, obviously, whether you had to or you decided to, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You re-upped him. This is the first guy you're attached to.
Yeah. You know, career-defining sort of move.
Yeah. Maybe
tenure-defining sort of
move. Tenure-defining or short tenure, but also you look at it like, look at Woodard at LSU. You know, he's made all the other hires he made won national championships. Well, you hired Brian Kelly at 10-year contract, and then they used it against you, when in reality, everybody was offering 10-year contracts for guys that were willing and able to come and coach at different schools. Mm-hmm. And you fired Ed Orgeron, right?
Hey, that guy won a ring.
Right, but, you know, he kind of, you know, played himself out and had some other things going on. And you thought Brian Kelly in LSU, perfect match. Then he took that mic there at the basketball game, and they were like, oh. Is the ink dried on that contract? Yes, it has. Damn. And then there went the clock right there. And then he doubled down on when he did the
recruiting. Oh, that recruiting video?
Yeah, when he did this.
Oh, brother.
I only seen that in techno clubs, man. Those are the clubs you know, you might not tell anybody you've been in. Take my word for it.
I will have to take your word.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, it's interesting times, man.
So with Virginia Tech filled, what do you think's the next domino to fall? Now that Elko's staying put, Lane's family could be on the move. Who's the next one to hire coach?
It's going to be Penn State. Because
before Arkansas.
Because LSU. Well, I thought the dude from Memphis is going there.
His name's been thrown out there, but haven't heard anything official.
Well, the next big job has got to be Penn State. Because it lets you know, if it's true that the family was at two different places, that they're waiting. They're both waiting. Mm-hmm. And Ole Miss is waiting.
Yeah.
So now, Penn State, where you at, player?
Go get your guy. But I feel like there's not much overlap between what Penn State has been looking for and LSU and Florida.
That's what, because that's going to either solve itself really quick as far as Florida and LSU. Mm-hmm. Lane's going to be out and stay put, or he's going to pick one. Or it's going to fester for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and the decision's already going to be made. And so both of them are going to be sitting there waiting for, it's, you know, it's like a gender reveal or something, right?
Right.
You know, and then so now Penn State, you know, you were the first big one to jump out there long, long time ago. Seems like almost like last year.
Yeah.
You're going to roll the dice on homeboy from James Madison, Chesney? Or are you going to go try to get Brian Hartline? Mm. Another roll your dice? Are you going to go try to get old buddy from Buffalo?
Brady?
You know, you're going to try to, you know, come and get our coach? You got to make a decision, because at the end of the day, those first three that I mentioned, those are high risk right there.
Oh, yeah.
Those are high risk, and you better be invested in it, right? So now you essentially got yourself at the, you know, we are Sparta type of thing, and you got to talk your way off the ledge, right? I mean, because versus probably Matt Rhule's, you know, the safer bet, right? He's done it before. He's done more with less. I could argue that if he got a chance, and this is not taking anything against Brett, I'm just saying what they could, you know, look, you got three guys that just called plays.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Not three guys that ran a team.
Right. So, versus a guy that's ran a team. That's just right. And now I don't know who else is out there. I mean, Kirk Cignetti ain't going nowhere. So you're going to get Brian. Now, the only dude that you got in your back pocket now, which might have been so long for you to kind of get to this point, is because you had to do a whole bunch of house calls. You've had to drink cognac. You tried to had to smoke the cigar that you might not like, but you are getting, you're trying to sway people to be okay with Pat Fitzgerald.
You're still out there.
And that is a good match. It's a, it seems like it, right? Tough
in
dude.
Theory.
Yeah. Big
mm-hmm.
10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boy. You talk about what's the dude that always is in there with the negative news? What's the dude? He got gray hair. We saw him down in Vegas and he got the gray mustache.
Oh, McMurphy?
Yeah. Hey. What's his name?
Brett McMurphy.
Brett McMurphy. Hey, I got my exclusive. Right?
It's right here.
And then he would just say, hey, just reading the real report.
Right.
You said this.
I hear this.
Right. And yeah, you got off, but let's just look at this right here. You were pinned here. This is the action happened here. So you're trying to tell me 30 feet away you didn't know? So therefore, how can you coach Penn State? Boy, Brett McMurphy would be on him.
He'd be killing the fools.
Let me tell you something. If there's something shaking in the weeds,
who are you going to call? McMurphy.
He's right there because he's shaking the weeds.
That he is. Some shaking going on in the Nebraska football recruiting class. We'll get an update on what shook out in the Huskers class, where the coaching staff was over the bye weekend. More Brian Munson of Husker Online joins us next.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in. It is old school here on The Ticket. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. It's 3:30 on a Monday, which means we are headed to our Aloe Fiber VIP line, where we are joined by Brian Munson of Husker Online. Brian, a happy Monday to you and yours. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. First things first, your Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator is in a bit of a coaching search. If you were Joe Brady, would you stay coaching a top three quarterback in the world? Or would you go take your first ever collegiate head coaching job at Penn State?
Oh, it is. That's not even like a question, right? I mean, obviously coaching Josh has got to have some perks, and he's obviously just signed that huge deal up there in Buffalo, and he's in the middle of the, you know, just kind of in the, just the meat of basically his career. And, but I, you know, Joe Brady's under a lot of scrutiny too. I mean, mm-hmm. that offense is still putting up 40 points, running game, still pretty suspect, at least this last weekend. Got some tough games here for the rest of the schedule, you know. But I think Spagnuolo, the owner of the Bills, is a big Penn State alum and big booster, I guess what I meant to say. And I really feel like Spagnuolo is trying hard, desperately, to get Joe Brady in as the head coach there at Penn State. So I think Nittany Lion fans are going to have to ask themselves, like, after everything that's happened and Franklin going to Blacksburg now, and if they end up with Brady, are they better? Are they better off? I mean,
it's a risk.
It's certainly risky. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, in the Big Ten, I think that we would all agree. I mean, it's a different conference. It's an incredibly different and tough conference. So, for me personally, I mean, bringing Brian Daboll back over to Buffalo, the recently fired coach from the Giants, as a previous OC to Joe Brady up there in mm-hmm. Buffalo. I mean, that would be a great fit too. The Bills could just fall right back in the line with Daboll as the OC. So we'll see how it plays out. I think he would be a little foolish not to take that job though in Happy Valley.
It would be pretty important for him too to take it sooner than later, you would think, with early signing day just around the corner. Virginia Tech has their guy in place. Brian, what would a coach be able to do? Let's say they accept a job here by the end of the mm-hmm. week. What kind of work would they be able to do on their 2026 recruiting class, if any?
Yeah, I mean, think about like what we did, you know, what we kind of covered, what was it now, 3 years ago? You know, mm-hmm. that it was that Friday right after Thanksgiving, and Matt Rhule is, you know, already working the phones. What you're hoping to do is kind of reconnect with some guys that you lost out of the 2026 class, I think, first. I think, secondly, you probably have had a little bit of time to go back and maybe evaluate some names that maybe weren't part of that 2026 class to where you could maybe extend some new offers. You know, maybe try to go back and keep a local guy, you know, somebody a little more regional home, give them another option, you know, and that may be where, I guess, the whole Joe Brady, the luster of it, it just isn't there. It's not Urban Meyer, you know, it's not, you know, Lane Kiffin, you know, or whatever, whoever else you want to kind of throw in there had a little bit bigger name, like some of the names that was being thrown around earlier on. It doesn't have that pizzazz to it. So I don't know if he's going to necessarily have that ability to like reach into other people's classes and just pull people out, unless it's really more of a school thing and getting direction kind of more established, you know, like just with having a head coach finally. So I don't know, but that's how I would kind of attack it. Go back over the 26s that I had lost, you know, who are the remaining guys on the board, where are the holes I'm trying to fill. And then maybe a couple more new evaluations and making out some new offers and see if I can do anything to kind of keep a couple local guys home.
Last thing on the Penn State front, but this will help transition us to the Nebraska football element of things. Fourth away night game for Nebraska football this season, Brian, coming up at 6 p.m. In Happy Valley. Matt Rhule was asked a little bit about that and said, you know what, it's the schedule. We'll play it. It's maybe not my favorite, but we have to love it because it's the hand that we've been dealt. But also then made the pitch that, hey, you know, this is actually pretty good for Nebraska, right? When he's gone out on the road recruiting, it's a lot of eyeballs on Nebraska and the kind of primetime windows late at night. You get that national attention. How true do you think that is, or do you think that's just maybe spin from Matt Rhule?
Well, so let's see. You have the opening game against Cincinnati at Akron, and you had USC. So they've already played three night games up to this point. Mm-hmm. You're adding a fourth. I agreed with him in his press conference anyway that, you know, they benefited. They have benefited from getting into that national, you know, that time slot there that makes it a little bit more available for people to get to watch that game that night in case they had things going on. And I think it's always a bigger draw. People are sitting down trying to figure out what they're going to do on a Saturday night, and there's a big game on TV, so go ahead and watch it. I feel like the home games have been massive for Nebraska. You know, whether it's the blackout, you know, that you had against USC, or just I think all of the 2027 and 2028s that visited this fall that just kind of had to like do the same thing that Trey Taylor did, you know, last fall, and that was just you gotta kind of go see it. You gotta go kind of, you know, witness it yourself and figure out like what's special about it to you. And I feel like Nebraska got a lot of guys to come in from those down the road classes, and I think that they've set themselves up, you know, for a really strong class in 2027 and really kind of looking down the road a little bit more at 2028, they could do the same thing. So I think they've really benefited a lot from having these late time slots to get on the air and play football. And obviously, you know, some tough loss there against USC, but ultimately, like we had talked about after that weekend, you know, everybody was more just in love with the environment and obviously all the recruits had the other recruits there and the players to kind of hang out with. So I think that this one's interesting because I think it gives the Nebraska team a little bit more of a feeling of like, just like the stage, you know, you had the Rose Bowl, you know, you're going to get, you know, State College on a Saturday night. Well, you're going to need to figure that stuff out because you got, you know, somewhere down the line, you got Big House, you got the Horseshoe, you know, you have to go back to Indiana at some point, and, you know, and going to Kinnick as well. So, I mean, there's some benefits here from continuing to play on these big stages for this team. They're still cutting their teeth. They're still cutting their teeth trying to figure these things out. They're still scraping for these wins. And, you know, I think the other thing too, that I'm sorry to kind of ramble on this, but like a 10-point underdog this weekend too is just so incredibly interesting. I mean, I think it just should make them hungry, you know, for the ability to kind of go out there and prove some people wrong on that national stage. So I think they got a lot to play for on Saturday night.
We're talking with Brian Munson of Husker Online. He's with us on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Brian, Matt Rhule's also asked today about how much more room they had in their 2026 class, with us being just a couple days or a couple weeks away from signing day. Potentially one spot opened up with a decommitment. Leon Noyle Jr. Decommits from Nebraska. What do you think went into that decision? How big a loss is that for the 2026 class?
Yeah, you know, Leon, he had just been up there for the USC weekend, talked to he and his teammate that had visited. Loved the visit, but he's been getting a lot of pressure. He's been getting a lot of pressure from Baylor and from Mississippi State to come take a closer look. So he's decommitted. And I knew things were kind of thought that things were maybe going to move this way, because since the news kind of broke that he was going to take this visit over to Mississippi State, he's not answered my phone calls. He has not answered my phone calls since, you know, he returned. And that typically ends up, you know, that something bad is about to happen. So I think Leon is a great player, number one. I think that where Nebraska, though, saw him playing as an interior offensive lineman, I think it would have been tough. He plays tackle currently for Edna Carr. He's got great feet. You know, he's a good athlete. But I think that when you're looking at like the interior offensive lineman in particular, like in the Big Ten, you know, you have those big tree trunk legs, and Leon is just he doesn't have that lower body build, I think, is what I kind of then liken to like how I would build a Big Ten interior offensive lineman. And I think that would have been a problem. I think that would have really been a problem playing against some of those bigger, you know, 6'2", 325-pound kind of nose guys. I think that just would have been some difficulty there. So I think ultimately, if this is what he wants to do, it may end up, you know, being the best for both sides. You know, Nebraska is, you know, looking at a junior college interior offensive lineman, Micah Matalau, from out there at Mount SAC. Bigger guy, a little bit more fuller player, getting some Big Ten interest too, just up at Illinois last week. So I think that, you know, I think Nebraska, I think he said one or two today, maybe now three that they'd have to get to. But I also don't know like how many of the recent junior college offers are getting included in that number, or if they're kind of seeing that more as like a cheap portal guy almost in some ways, because it's a little bit more tailor-made, particularly like the linebackers, the corners, the offensive lineman that I just mentioned a second ago, Taylor Schaefer, you know, being a big, you know, kind of a jack linebacker that could kind of step in and play right away, or Asad Chapman, the big corner that just visited Oregon. Like those guys there, I think, are almost like kind of like those cheaper guys of the defensive line portal guys they got last January.
I'm glad you went there, because I was going to ask, there's some really interesting stuff in everything you wrote about the JUCOs. Would really recommend people get over to Husker Online and check it out. Do you think that you said maybe probably cheaper sort of portal guys, but also maybe a way for Nebraska to get older quicker at seeing the roster they have for next year? A lot of rising, you know, redshirt freshmen and redshirt sophomores that will be seeing the field. And hey, here are some depth guys from the JUCO ranks, where Nebraska's probably pretty set on its starting 22 potentially, again, before we get to the attrition part of the offseason, but maybe a way to, like you said, stay within budget and just get maybe a little older, a little quicker.
Well, I think also that if you think that you're in a position like for like a redshirt sophomore to be there, maybe to be ready, like I know he's been hurt all season, but you know, like Gibson Pyle was maybe running as like a top six, top seven offensive lineman, you know, there at Nebraska. But, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, Rocco graduates, moves on. You're going to want some competition, I think, at that interior spot. You know, and I think you're still trying to find different ways to just kind of get better. So I think that when you maybe think that you've got kind of an emerging guy there, you're not trying to like squelch him by bringing somebody else in there to, you know, to kind of be the competition for him. I think you're just I think what you have to say, like what you say to yourself about like having two capable quarterbacks in the room. Mm-hmm. If I get a chance for those guys to go out there and push each other every single practice, you know, every week, I get better at that position. And I think that Nebraska is maybe feeling like that. I think that it's kind of a two-pronged attack. I think that there's the angle of getting a little older at a particular spot. Maybe you're just a little young. And I think also that, you know, maybe you feel like you've got like somebody there has been in the program, you know, for two and a half years, and they need a little competition, somebody else to kind of keep bringing them along to where you can kind of build some incredible depth within like that kind of JUCO or portal guy, along with being more organic with the high school guys you got coming up and developing them.
Because Nebraska hasn't done a lot of JUCO in a while, right? Really, like,
no.
You know, Mike Riley had a couple JUCOs. Other than that, it's right. been a long time.
It was very unusual for it to come up, but you put the film on, these dudes can play. And it's been very interesting to kind of like look out across the country to see, you know, who the schools are that are reaching out to these guys and making the offers. A lot of the same schools that are kind of looking for some immediate help in some places, or looking for some guys obviously that can challenge, you know, the players that are there at those positions currently to kind of take a step forward. But I mean, like I said, Chapman was just on an official visit to Oregon. He just picked up an mm-hmm. offer from Oregon last Tuesday. So it's not like these guys are just picking up Nebraska and then like Kennesaw State and, you know, Middle Tennessee. It's not like that. These are some legit Big Ten offers kind of coming off the shelves of these guys.
The other thing I wanted to ask, Brian, Nebraska's coaches hit the road over the bye week to go and recruit a little bit. We know at least some members of the staff were down in Buford, Georgia to watch Dayton Raiola. How has Dayton progressed throughout the season? We know Buford's rolling, but how have you seen Dayton or heard about Dayton's growth as a quarterback this year?
Yeah, I think he had 4 touchdowns passing. I just got his stats today from the coach down there at Buford. I think there was 4 touchdowns, and he verified that Coach Rule was down there this week. I know that they were also down checking out Nayland Scott at McEachern High School in Georgia. And they were also down checking out Larry Miles, the other wide receiver for Nebraska, the other 2026 commitment. So I know they were in Florida and Georgia. Those were some big places for them to get to. But Buford is now, I think they're 11-0 and they're rolling. I mean, and this was a team that, you know, they were preseason number one. They actually lost the number one spot in the state even after they won, like convincingly won that week. I think Douglas County was the school, I think, that took away their number one spot. But, you know, this is going to be a very interesting kind of situation. I think they're moving into the second round this weekend. I think things are going to get really difficult for them in the third round and going on. And this is like where we've talked about before. The defense is better this year at Buford, I think, than what they've had before in years past. And it's not like a air it out kind of thing. They've been very dependent on, like, you know, having a balanced offensive attack. But he's had a good season. It's not been Trey Taylor when it comes to offensive numbers, but he's not had to go out there and kind of do that either.
And to Trey Taylor's credit, not many seasons across the country like Trey Taylor's. That dude is balling.
No, that guy, I mean, I'm telling you what, like, what was it, like, almost like 85% completion percentage or something like that. I worked it up and put it into 3 and out on last week. I thought it was just such an amazing story about, like, his determination and just not being satisfied from at the end of his sophomore year to, you know, the beginning of his junior year, the kind of discipline that he had in what he did to kind of get ready for his junior year. And the fact after losing that game, a heartbreaker, that they probably win 8 or 9 times out of 10 any other times because they're more talented. Even after that heartbreaking loss that ends his junior year, he's already back at work. I mean, it's all about the process with him. And I think Nebraska fans are going to be tickled, you know, when he gets up to Nebraska and leads by that kind of example.
That's Brian Munson of Husker Online with us once again. Brian, as always, appreciate your insight. We'll catch up again next week after Penn State, see if there's any movement in that 2026 class for Nebraska. Thanks as always for your time, Brian.
Sounds great, buddy. See ya.
Brian joined us on our VIP line brought to you by Aloe Fiber, where they understand the importance of exceptional service with local heart. Jay Foreman joins me to wrap up our one of old school momentarily.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Also, Norman J. Foreman with you on Old School here. We'll get to our starter Heyman Jewelers text line to round out hour one of the show. We'll start with this from Westy J. Do you think Virginia Tech was James Franklin's first choice for reasonable jobs? Of course, not like LSU would hire Franklin.
I don't know if he had a first choice. I think he's just going out there. I mean, I think he's out there and he probably took a really good look at the landscape. And I think he was one of his top choices. He wouldn't accept it, or, you know, potentially not going to accept it if it's not. I don't think he has, like, his first. I mean, I'm sure his first choice would have been stayed at Penn State. Mm-hmm. What was the next? Was it LSU, then Florida, or Florida and LSU?
Florida first, I believe. Yeah. Then LSU. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think a lot of times these coaches know a little bit more about the insides of the program than other places. And I think Virginia Tech is a good fit for him.
And he's a good coach, but he's not one that, you know, can say, no, I want to go here. You will make it work.
Yeah, well, we're going to see right now. I think he did some really good things at Penn State. I think he brought them back to national kind of recognition and prominence, and mm-hmm.
for good reasons.
We'll see who next comes in and if they drop the ball or not. Because I think he did a lot of things that people don't give him credit for. Under some, you know, not ideal, you know, circumstances. And I just think maybe I think the Florida gig was too much of a risk. I mean, they'll run you out of there quick. And LSU probably is like, that's just probably poisonous down there. And I don't know if he fits in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think he fits in the SEC. I just don't know if he fits LSU.
Ben says Pat Fitzgerald would be a disaster at Penn State. He's an old school guy, cut of the same cloth as like a Mike Gundy, and the game has passed him by.
Who was he saying?
Fitzgerald. Says Pat Fitzgerald would be a disaster at Penn State. Too old school.
I don't believe that. What do you think Kirby Smart is? I mean, he's more old. He's old school. He's more old school than Nick Saban. Now, it'll be interesting to see what Pat Fitzgerald does offensively. Defensively, they'll be just fine. No matter where he goes, they're going to be good.
Which is where maybe the time off is where Pat Fitzgerald made some connections and said, hey, what I was doing didn't work. Maybe it wasn't the scheme. Maybe it was the talent.
It was working good enough to get him places. I just think, just lost control or whatever happened. I mean, that was it. It wasn't losses that got him fired. It was.
Well, but it would be losses at Penn State. It wasn't losses at Northwest. That's worth drawing the distinction.
You know, maybe he has to do what Brett Bielema did. You know, kind of went around and like looked around the NFL after Arkansas and kind of welcomed the RPO game, and he runs a little bit more of it now.
Well, he got Lunny from UTSA.
Yeah.
And he was really good.
Yeah, but I think Brett Bielema said, remember he went to the Patriots and kind of assisted offensive line or defensive line.
Yeah.
But he started to he went around before that and kind of opened his eyes to different types of offenses versus what he ran in Wisconsin, and it worked out pretty well.
Last thing, then, this is from Cam in Valparaiso. If the Bengals fire Zach Taylor, Joe Brady will be the head coach of the Bengals, not at Penn State.
Yeah, maybe he'll be in the running.
But you go from one offensive guru to another.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, what would be the reason of firing Zach Taylor? Losses?
I think Zach Taylor's been fine. Right. I don't understand the hot seat.
Yeah, me either.
I really don't.
You lose your franchise quarterback.
You're paying three guys like 50% of the salary
right.
cap.
You got to figure that out. Right. You decided to do that. You decided not to trade T. Higgins not 1 year ago, 2 years ago when you could have.
You let go of your seeming Mahomes kryptonite and your defensive coordinator who you didn't give more than one piece to work with. Trade the other one away.
And then your two defensive ends both held out because you didn't want to pay them.
Mm-hmm. Because you really couldn't pay them.
Yeah, you really couldn't. You had to figure, I don't know. I think Cincinnati is a job. If you're wanting to be a head coach, you can't turn it down. I think if you're a head coach that has other options, you go the other way.
Yeah.
Then it could be a Brady.
Could be.
Because he's never been a head coach.
Right.
Yeah.
Good stuff there. We will take a break. When we get back, we'll talk some more NFL. Could this be the year the Chiefs missed the playoffs in a fantastic Husker weekend in a number of regards. He's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. This is Old School. Back in a minute.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.